So our first reading is Numbers and chapter 16. We're skipping a little bit ahead. I know we're not that far through in our series, but the reading is from Numbers 16. And we'll read two sections from this chapter, verses 1 to 11, and then verses 28 to 33. Numbers 16. Now, before we read this, let me remind you that Aaron is the high priest over the children of God, over our fathers in the faith. And what Numbers 16 is teaching us is what happens to us when we go to approach God the Father without Jesus Christ, the high priest. All right, that's what we're learning about here in Numbers 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and said to them, "You take too much on yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one who he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this. Take censers, Korah, and all your company. Put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi." Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from among the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. What is Aaron that you complain against him?" And then from verse 28. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord." Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Amen. May God bless his word to us and warn us by it. There is no way to God but through Jesus Christ, the high priest. And then from Hebrews, and we'll start in chapter 7. Hebrews 7 describes to us the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. We'll start in verse 23 of Hebrews 7. There were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because Jesus continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to serve to the uttermost, able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. Now this is the main point of the things we're saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and one and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. And then from chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves purified with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from the sin, for salvation. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to us. Jesus Christ, our high priest, who has gone into the heavens for us. Numbers. Well, we're between chapter 1 and chapter 3, but we're not in chapter 2, so that's a bit strange, isn't it? Numbers, if you turn to chapter 1, we'll start there. Last time we looked at the census, didn't we, in chapter 1 and 2. And we realised that the census is teaching us to say, "Count me in." When the Father counts us into the church and into Jesus Christ, his Son, and writes our names in the book of life, which is before him in glory, we say, "Count me in." And we were arranged, weren't we, our fathers in the faith, as we were in the tribes, in those sections, around the tabernacle, which was right in the centre of the camp. Here's the question. What's going on there? What is at the centre of church life? Last time we were looking around the edges, weren't we? We're all being counted on. But what's going on at the centre, the heart of church? Or rather, who is going on at the centre of church life? So that's what we're at this evening. Let's read Numbers 1, 47 to 54. This is in the middle of the census that we looked at last time. It says, the Levites were not numbered among them by their father's tribe. For the Lord had spoken to Moses, saying, only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor take a census of them among the children of Israel, but you shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, over all its furnishings and over all things that belong to it. They shall carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings. They shall attend to it and camp around the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle is to go forwards, the Levites shall take it down. And when it's to be set up, the Levites shall set it up. The outsider who comes near, that is anyone who's not a Levite, shall be put to death. The children of Israel shall pitch their tents, everyone by his own camp, everyone by his own standard according to their armies. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. And then from chapter 3, we'll read that as well, because I can't resist. Chapter 3, verses 5 to 13, just that section there. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall attend to his needs, and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting, to do the work of the tabernacle. Also they shall attend to all the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting, and to the needs of the children of Israel, to do the work of the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons, and they are given entirely to him from among the children of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. But the outsider, that is anyone who is not in Aaron's family, shall be put to death. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, they shall be mine. I am the Lord. So there are the Levites who are particularly and peculiarly set apart from the family of God in Israel. While Moses was having to go around with Aaron and the others to count all the children of Israel, to number the family of God and write all their names down, the Levites were left out. They had a special designation. They were designated to the tabernacle, wholly devoted to the Lord's own house that was among them. All the other tribes had a flag to stand next to, a standard. They had to stand there next to their heraldic family emblems. But the Levites, they don't have those. The Levites instead have the tabernacle. Do you notice that in chapter 1? They have the tabernacle instead of a flag, a standard. That's what marks them out. They don't have their own home. They don't have their own family. They are dedicated wholly to the Lord in his house. But within that specially designated part of Israel called Levi, that was specially set apart, there was one family within them, Aaron's family, that was specially set apart even from the Levites. Get that in chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, where it talks about Aaron's family. They specifically are set apart again. And so whereas only the Levites were allowed to have anything to do with the tabernacle, nobody else was allowed to come close, only Aaron's family were allowed to come anywhere near the altar of sacrifice. No one else was allowed to come close to that. So there's Israel, the Levites, Aaron's family, but then within Aaron's family, there was another designation, another separation, something even more specialer. Someone who was specially devoted, Aaron, on his own, one man, is the high priest in Israel. You get that in chapter 3, verse 6. He is the priest. It's a common misconception that all the Levites were priests. You know, I'm oversimplifying here, but it's not the case. Only Aaron is the priest, the high priest. Only he was allowed to have anything to do with the Holy of Holies. So, there's Israel, there's the Levites, only they could have anything to do with God's house. And then there's Aaron's family, only they could have anything to do with the altar of sacrifice. And then there's Aaron, only he gets to go into the Holy of Holies and be with the Lord. Although there are many Levites to administer to the tabernacle, there is only one high priest who connects humans with the Lord. Why do they do it like that? Why is it like that? Why aren't they all equal? That's more like how we're used to doing things, isn't it? Why are there these special separations? Why can't anyone walk into the presence of God? Why do they do it like this? What does it mean? Well, as we said in our very first one in Numbers, remember, we're being taught things. Rehab for sinners is Numbers. We're being taught. And what we're being taught here is about representation. How do we orient ourselves with the living God? As I talked about these separations, these tiers, as it were, what's happening at every single point, you're being told, you can't go any further. There are these uncrossable barriers between every tier. So if you look at chapter 1 and verse 53, it says there that only the Levites are allowed to be near the tabernacle. Only they get to camp there. Anyone else they have to camp there so that there's no wrath on the children of Israel. The children of Israel can't come close. Only the Levites. Then in chapter 3, verse 10, excuse me. Ironically, it's so warm in here this evening. I've got a tickly throat. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 10. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. The outsider, anyone who's not Aaron's family, who comes close, must be put to death. And then chapter 3 again and verse 4 talks about when even Aaron's own sons went too close. They crossed a line, and they lost their lives. So there are these tears that are teaching us that we must be far, kept away from the Lord. We can't come close. And at the same time, as we move through the tears, we are drawing closer and closer to the Lord through representatives. We are kept far away, and yet we're being represented closer and closer and closer to the Lord. Let's say you are plonked into the wilderness in this time, and you are a Welshman. Because you're from Wales, you aren't an Israelite. You don't get to be in that family. But you get to come and join the Israelites if you become an Israelite. You convert, right? You can become an Israelite. You can join them. And that lets you get a little closer. But when you get up to the tabernacle, they're all saying, oh, you can't go this way. Only the Levites are allowed to be this close. They represent us near the house of God. If you were a Levite and you go to waltz in up to the altar, someone would say, whoa, now you're not allowed in here. Only Aaron's family are allowed here. They represent us at the altar of sacrifice. And even if you were one of Aaron's own children, even if you were his firstborn son, and you go to approach the Holy of Holies, there's Aaron. Oh, you don't get to go in here. I go in here. And I represent you before the Father. That's how it works. There are these representative barriers that take us closer to the Lord as they keep us away. It is through Aaron that we come into the Lord's presence. Aaron walks into the Holy of Holies, and before him is the mercy seat on which the Lord Christ sits. And he stands before him there. And do you remember, this was a while ago now, I was preaching here, and we talked about the high priest's clothes. Do you remember that? And there are these jewels on his shoulders when he stands in the Holy of Holies. Do you remember? And written on them are the names of the children of Israel. The family of God hang on the high priest's shoulders as he stands before the Lord in his house. So we cannot come to the Lord ourselves, but the Lord is providing for us a mediator, separating for himself a mediator who will represent us before him. It's not the case that Aaron is just holier. He does sort of fluff it up spectacularly from time to time. It's not like he's holier than any of us, but rather, get this, Aaron represents for us the choice of the Father on Jesus to be the one who goes between us and him as our mediator. Just as there is no way to the Lord except through Aaron, there is no way to the Lord except through Jesus Christ, his own Son, and our heavenly high priest. Do you remember in Acts 4, there is salvation in no other name but Jesus. Some people think that they can get to God themselves. Do you know anyone like that? Maybe you used to be one. Maybe you are one. We presume I'm compatible with God. I get to pray whenever I like and go into the presence of God. I can have certain experiences on the tops of mountains, or if I stretch my legs behind my head early in the morning or something, I can get in touch with the divine. We think drugs or crystals. Some people go online to find spiritual experiences that get them in touch with God. But Numbers is teaching us here in these verses that there is no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. It's really uncomfortable, but we simply have to come to terms with the fact that we can have nothing at all to do with God in and of ourselves when we're on our own. We are not friends. He is not okay with how we are, or the choices that we make for ourselves or for others. It is because of our sinfulness that there are these barriers between us. We are unfit, incompatible, disqualified. You can go no further. It is not safe for you to be near to God. You must have a mediator, is what this is teaching us. Do you remember Isaiah 6, that wonderful passage? Isaiah has a vision of the Lord Jesus sat on the throne of the Father, and he says, "Woe is me! I am undone." Do you remember why he said that? Remember? "I am undone because my eyes have seen the King. I can't be here," he says. "I can't be in the presence of God. My eyes can't look at the King. I'm supposed to have someone between me and him." He gets it. We must have a representative between us and God. But get this, right? This is wonderful. Because the Father so loves us sinners, that is precisely what he has provided for us in his Son. He has given us Jesus Christ, his own Son, who is symbolized there by Aaron in Numbers, to stand between us and God, that we might safely approach through him. It is really hard to come to terms with this. It is instinctive in us that surely I must have some sort of compatibility with God. But it is nonsense. If my voice doesn't carry beyond that door and you can't hear me outside, how is God going to hear my prayers if he can't get through the ceiling? If I can't speak, if I can't keep my own standards, if I wear my shoes upstairs despite telling myself I never would, if I leave the toilet seat up though I said I never would, if I can't keep my own standards, how am I going to stand up to the Lord's? We're not alone in finding it really uncomfortable and difficult to come to terms with the fact that we need someone to stand between us and God, to take us into his presence. We're not alone like that. We'll see as we go through Numbers how much our fathers struggled with this as well. Much of Numbers, in fact, is dedicated to this difficulty, how hard a lesson it is to learn that we must have Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. And so it is, we read in Numbers 16 earlier, didn't we, that the people resisted Aaron's high priesthood. They said, surely we can go into the presence of God as well. Only Jesus. We must have a representative. Now that takes us to chapter 3, verses 40 to 48. Remember, we're being taught now about mediation. We must have a representative before the Father if we're to be accepted by him. Chapter 3, from verse 40. Then the Lord said to Moses, number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and above, and take the number of their names. And you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel and of the livestock, the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the livestock of the children of Israel. So Moses numbered all the firstborn among the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded him, and all the firstborn males, according to the number of names from a month old and above, of those who were numbered of them, were 22,273. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of their livestock. The livestock shall be mine, I am the Lord. And for the redemption of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, who are more than the number of the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels for each one of them individually. You shall take them in the correct currency of the shekel of the sanctuary and the shekel of the 20 gerahs, and you shall give the money with them, with which the excess number of them is redeemed, to Aaron and his sons. What is that all about? Excuse me. The Lord has laid claim to all the firstborn in the family. All the families represented by the firstborns there are his. He owns them all. But he says, I'm going to take the Levites instead. And so he wants us to count them. Count all the Levites, there are 22,000. Count all the firstborn, 22,273. There's a mismatch. When we looked at chapters 1 and 2... We noticed how communal it was. We talked about community. We talked about how Moses even rounded numbers to stress that community matters. But here, 273 is 273. Each and every one is counted. There is no rounding. You see, every single one of us must have our representative between us and the Lord. We can't get away with it. We can't hide in a godly family. We cannot hide in a godly church. We are each counted. Are you represented by Jesus Christ, the high priest in the heavens? More than this, who is it that makes this arrangement? It's so obvious that we miss the significance. Who is it that makes the arrangement for these 273 people to be paid for that they could be counted in and represented? It's the Lord. It's his idea. He tells Moses, do this, and then all these 273 people can be represented. He wants us to be tied up with his son. He wants that. He arranges for a price to be paid that we would be dragged in, that we get our own representative. He arranges for that price to be paid to ensure that nobody will go without representation. So he shows us how much he loves us, that he would go out of his way to make it possible and arrange for us to be represented by Jesus Christ. And it shows us the great cost that he's willing to pay. Just as every single soul here had to be paid for, that they might be tied to Aaron the high priest, your soul must be paid for us to be tied up with Jesus Christ, the high priest in the heavens. Someone must pay for it. You don't have to take my word for it. Shall we ask the saints who are in eternal bliss right now? What do they have to say about it? They say about Jesus, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, And you have redeemed us to God by your blood. There is Jesus Christ paying the price that we may be brought near to God. And in Revelation 1, 6 as well, this is the apostle that says, to him, to Jesus, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to God the Father, to him be glory. It is Jesus Christ who, at the behest of the Father, has gone out of his way to find you, to count you, to make a way for you to be saved and to pay the price. In Acts 20 it says, shepherd the church of God which he bought with his own blood. This is the price which the living God has paid, that you and me might be brought near to him, even into the Holy of Holies, with thy priest Jesus. It is the blood of his own Son. And so it is, we're only in chapter 3, but from chapter 3 onwards, from these verses, every soul in all the family of God has this assurance. They have a receipt of however many gerahs and 5 shekels. This receipt is their assurance that they have their representative before God. The price has been paid, they'd say, for me to hang on the high priest's shoulder when he goes into the Holy of Holies. It's wonderful. And there we are. We have the cross in our hearts and our minds. We think, here is my receipt, my ticket. The price has been paid for me to be in the Holy of Holies with the Father and with the Son. Let me apply this to you, right? I've got a couple of minutes to apply this to you. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour, the beloved Son of God, he belongs in the Father's house. It's his house. The Father loves him. And the Father loves us so much that he includes us in his eternal Son. It is over the one that he proclaims, this is my beloved Son. He includes us in him when we believe in him. He writes our names on his shoulders. As he wrote our father's names on Aaron, he writes our names on Jesus Christ when we're tied up with him. And so Numbers 3 speaks nothing short of absolute rock solid assurance to the children of God. As surely as the Father loves the Son, as surely as he is devoted to his glory, as surely as he loves him and welcomes him into his own house, and I am with him, I am paid for by him, I am tied up to him, then I am loved as well. As surely as he is cherished, I am cherished. As surely as he is welcome, I am welcome. I belong at his side because Jesus belongs at his side, and I am with him. It's wonderful, isn't it? Get to the end of chapter 3 and all the Israelites know that they have their representative who walks in the presence of God with their names written on him. From a safe distance, our fathers could approach the tabernacle and they peer inside with their little ancient binoculars and they see Aaron, the high priest, walking around and he's working. What do you think he's doing? There he is, he's counseling people. He's bearing people's burdens. He's making sacrifices. He's spilling an awful lot of blood to cover sins. There he is. He's bearing their burdens. And once a year, he goes into the holiest place on all of planet Earth. And he deals with the Lord for us. There he is, covering sins, carrying them into the presence of God. When he instructs people and gives them purpose in their own life. And he comes out of the Holy of Holies from the veil and he says, the Lord blesses you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord causes his face to shine upon you, gives you peace. When they see that, when they hear that, when they witness what Aaron does for them, between them and God, they know that they belong with the Lord God because their representative, who pays for their access, who himself has been set apart by the Father and given for that very purpose. They know that they are accepted. They know that they belong in the house of God. Remember what Ephesians 2, it was a while ago we did Ephesians now. Ephesians 2 and verse 15, 13 rather, puts it like this. In Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. At every single point of Jesus' own life, every point of his ministry and his death, even his resurrection, even his ascension, even his exaltation and his sitting down on the Father's throne in session, Jesus the High Priest represents all of us who are tied to him by faith. All of us who are tied to him by faith and trusting him. When we, through heavenly binoculars, watch Jesus Christ at his work, when we see him forgiving sins, making people whole, fixing their lives, even their bodies and their minds, and granting them resurrection and all that, when we see him working like that, even accepted in the throne room of the Father, and we see him sat down on the throne of God, then we know that we are safe. We know that we are accepted in him. And so it is. There you are, Numbers, bit of chapter 1 and chapter 3. It is teaching us, through the experience of our fathers here, as they were being taught by the Lord in the wilderness, that it's not about me or you. The question is not, am I good enough to go into the presence of God? It isn't even, and I'm careful like this, does Jesus make me good enough to go into the presence of God? It's not, do I belong there? It's not, am I holy enough? It is not, have I done enough good works to be there? The question is this, am I tied up with Jesus? He's good enough. He belongs there. It's his house. Am I with him? Do I trust him? Is my name on his shoulders? Amen. We'll leave it there. God bless that to you. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ever bless you, Holy Three and Eternal One, for the great love with which you have loved us sinners as to design and provide and make a way for our salvation, and no less to pay the price of the blood of the eternal Son of God, that we might be counted in to the family of God, into the church, and written upon Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we pray that we would live up to this wonderful privilege and live like the children of God that you have made us to be. Bless us today, we pray, with deep, solid assurance that we are fixed in with Jesus Christ. Let us truly rest tonight as we lay our heads on our pillows, knowing that in the presence of the Father, we are accepted in Jesus Christ. Grant us faith to that end, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.